Welcome to the Crystal Pain Show, where we help you embrace your life right where you are and give you practical steps to get where you want to go. Whether you are in your car, folding laundry, cooking, cleaning, or maybe even just enjoying a cup of coffee and a few minutes of quiet, we're so glad you're joining us today. Here's your host, wife, mom of six kids, foster mom, entrepreneur, and author, Crystal Pain.
Welcome to another episode of the Crystal Pain Show. This is an episode that I have been eagerly anticipating for a number of weeks because the conversation that we're going to have is one that I feel is very, very pivotal for so many women who are listening. They have either walked through this or know someone who has walked through this or are struggling with this. And it's really the topic of friendship and loneliness. I think that, you know, at the crux of this book that Kristen Strong has written, it is loneliness. And the title of the book, Desperate Woman Seeks Friends. If that does not kind of say, I'm desperate and I'm lonely. And I talk to so many women who are struggling. They want to have close friendships. They want to have community. They want to have relationships, but either they've been really hurt in the past or they've been ghosted by someone who they thought was a close friend or flat out, straight up rejected by someone that they had been friends with for years and years, or they've moved to a new place and they are trying so hard to find friends and just not seeming to connect with anyone. So I want to start back to you open up the book with talking about how you were in this place where you wanted to hold up a sign that literally said, Desperate Woman Seeks Friends. Tell us about that season of your life.
Oh, you bet. Well, you know, in my story, there has been the Kristen that has had a hard time making friends, I think in part because sometimes I would inadvertently sabotage my own efforts. But then there has been times when Kristen has wanted friends and has known all the quote unquote right things to do to find them, but I could not find them to save my life. So that title comes from a period when we were in Dayton, Ohio. My husband, was active duty military. So we did that. He did 26 years of career military life. I was around for 20 of those, almost 20 of those years. And we had lived in Dayton, Ohio the second time. And so I thought, oh, we're moving back to Dayton. We've been here before. I'll reconnect with some of these friends. Well, it had been a number of years in between, and I did not reconnect with a lot of them. You know, just circumstances had changed. Some of them had moved and whatnot. So I felt like whoever I reached out to, the vibe I got back was, you know, I already have my friends and I'm not looking for new friends. Mm-hmm. And it was so discouraging. So one night, I remember telling my husband I was going to grab some poster board. Of course, this was 2005, before social media. But I was going to grab poster board and I was going to write on it, Desperate Woman Seeks Friends. And we lived in a corner lot. I was just going to stand in my yard and see if I got any takers. Because it seemed like that was my last resort, you know, the only thing left to do that I had not done. Now, the nice thing about, well, and my husband was like, are you really going to do that? So anyway, I did not end up doing it, but I tell you, in honest to goodness, I was this close, you know, to doing it because I just felt so lonely, so sad. You know, I had three children, five and under, and I, you know, I was, David was working crazy hours. And so I just felt like it was, you know, me with little people all, I turned the TV on just to hear grownups, you know, so I just so desperately wanted a friend and could not find one. Well, I didn't end up making the sign because not long after that conversation, which was a year after we moved there, you know, I mean, and a year was a third of our time there, you know, but after that conversation, not long after, I went to the park and met who became a good friend there. Her name is Sherry. We had just kept showing up at that park at the same time with our kids. And so I struck up a conversation with her. Or maybe she struck up with one with me first. It, you know, I can't remember who said something first to the other one, but we really did connect there. And now we haven't lived in the same place since 2007, but we still are good friends and still, you know, and whenever we are together, we can just pick right back up. And so for the last 2 years of our assignment there, you know, she was just really my main friend. And I did make some other friends, but, you know, it's just really hard because sometimes you can be doing all the things you're supposed to do, and it is just hard to find your people.
Mm. That reminds me back to when my husband and I were first married, and we moved away from the city that we had lived in basically our entire lives. And I had never really had to make friends because I kind of grew up in this church community where it was kind of built in friendships. And then I had a lot of brothers and sisters, and they were kind of the built-in friends. And so then we move and we're in this little town. And I just remember being so lonely, going to the grocery store and seeing someone that looked like a nice person and literally thinking, would it be really weird if I just went up to them and said, hi, you look like a really nice person. Can I have your phone number? Yes. I mean, that's the place that I was at. And it is really hard, especially without social media. But not that adding in social media has made it easier, because then it has complicated things a lot as well.
Yes, it has. It's almost, I always think of social media as like getting your connections like breadcrumb by breadcrumb, you know. It's not sitting down to a whole meal unless somebody you meet online, you know, you take that relationship offline and you know, engage with them in person when you're able to. I have some friendships that have begun that way, and so I'm real thankful for those. But yeah, it almost can trick us, you know, give us just enough of a connection, a baby connection every whip stitch, so that, you know, you kind of feel maybe that you're connected. But I think at the end of the day, you're like, huh, I feel hungry. And that's true, because you haven't really had a solid meal, you know, in that way all day long. Mm-hmm. So, yeah. So I think social media is a blessing in many ways. It helps me stay connected with my three kids that live hither and yon. But it also comes with complications.
Mm-hmm. Well, and I think like one of the complications is that, like you said, how you can feel like you're connected, like you're quote unquote friends with these people. But there's that safety thing of like, you can shut it off, you know, whereas like friends in your real life who live next door or, you know, that you see regularly, like you don't have that same thing where you could just shut it off.
Right.
You know? And I think that we need to have people kind of who are up in our business a little bit.
Yes. You know? Well, that's it. The neighbors, I mean, our neighbors have heard us through the years yelling at our kids. And, you know, like the vulnerability naturally happens. Mm-hmm. Whereas online, I can, you know, I can sit on that kind of stuff if I want to, you know, or just commenting on, you know, congrats, you know, your book released, or, you know, that vacation looked wonderful. That's excellent. Those are lovely things to say, but there's no vulnerability there. Mm-hmm. And I think also online, you're able to kind of circumvent the awkward. And that's, friendships bring a measure of awkwardness. When my neighbor did catch me hollering at my kids in the backyard, that also felt awkward. but I could also say, sorry, bad day. She's like, I get it. No worries. You know, so there's like a mini connection that happens there. So yeah, that in-person time, however it, you know, organically happens, is, you know, you just can't replace that.
Mm-hmm. So for the woman who's listening, who's saying, I feel so much like you felt, like I'm ready to put a sign out, and I maybe am trying to go to social media to kind of fill some of that space, but I'm still feeling that deep loneliness. Like I want an actual real life face-to-face friend that I can do things with. What are some really simple ways that she could start trying to foster relationships?
Yeah. Well, I kind of have I don't know when this came to me, but I have thought of kind of three things I like to keep in mind. So show up, pray, show up, open up, pray up. Mm-hmm. And so for the show up component, what I do is I like to think of it as, what do I like to do that I can do on repeat? So for example, my friend Rebecca and I, we take an exercise class together a few times a week. Now I won't say I necessarily like to exercise, but what I like is to eat sweets, and therefore I must exercise, especially at 51 years old. So I cannot completely remove sweets, a dessert from my life, you know? So anyway, we do exercise. We do various exercise classes together. But then, you know, I'm a woman of faith, so the church is an option too. That happens every Sunday. And a lot of churches have programs, Bible studies or children's programs, extra days of the week. Where can I go that is just sort of built in a ritualistic repeat component to it during the week? And what can I, and then is there somebody there that I can look for that maybe looks like they might be a good friend? I'll tell you, at 51, and I think this doesn't bother me so much, probably because I've just practiced at it a lot. But like you said, the woman at the grocery store, can I just go up and say, you look like a good friend? Or the child that whoever you saw there that you alluded to earlier. I have done that before. You know, I'll meet a woman, like maybe we're kind of next to each other as we're exercising, or I see her in the halls at church. I just then go up at some point and have said, hey, would you be available for coffee in the next month? And now I will say also, a good friend of mine, Jen, she's a military wife as well. I'm no longer a military wife. My husband's retired. She's a current, her husband's active duty. She and I were good friends years ago, but we've reconnected where I live now in Colorado Springs because they've moved back there. Her husband was assigned there. And she told me she reached out to three different people about a coffee date. They all three said no. And that is just so demoralizing when that happens. Because first of all, when you are the new person, you do feel like the onus, for whatever reason, it's always on the new person to try to kind of find their people. And that's just the way it is. You know, it's, you just are going to put out more effort than maybe you feel like you're receiving, it, at least in the beginning. But Jen kept after it. That's her name, Jen Brown. Jen kept after it. She just kept inviting people. And then finally somebody said yes. And then there was a connection there. They are repeatedly getting together. She asked me for coffee. I said yes. And of course, like I said, I knew her earlier. But we, you know, ended up, having a great time together. And we regularly meet as well. So I think the point is with showing up, where can I show up? And where can I just make that first move to extend the hand of invitation to somebody? Because I gotta like get out of my house, you know? And so it doesn't necessarily mean you gotta go anywhere. Maybe it's just with your neighbors, you're looking out at potential there. But who can I introduce myself to? Ask for a cup of coffee. Or the second thing, showing up, opening up. So I really believe there's something about if you open up your home, there's something about opening up your heart that just naturally comes with that. There's an extra vulnerability that's kind of built in because somebody's seen your house. Now, from what I've learned, people do not care about the state of your house. You know, all they need is a clean place to sit. And even if you're just giving them a cup of iced water, that's fine. You don't have to be fancy about it. You can certainly invite them over for dinner, invite them for coffee and dessert or something, whatever you'd like. But when you open up your home to just one person, like it really lays the groundwork for a strong friendship. Because, I mean, I've had a lot of people in my houses through the years that didn't become great friends, but every great friend of mine I've had in my house. And so I think there's just really something to that. And both those things involve effort and work. And I wish I could say, oh, you know, like, you know, you just walk into a coffee house and there's Phoebe and Rachel and Monica. But for most of us, it involves some work and you've just got to get out there and, you know, make an introduction, see where it goes, and then, you know, either make a scheduled date to go somewhere or to invite them over to your house. And then, so the third thing from showing up, opening up is praying up. And so I just really am a firm believer in the power of prayer. Jesus walked this earth with friends. He had real good friends. And then he had, he had his closest inner circle. He had then good friends. And then he had, you know, all the followers and things. So if Jesus walked this earth with friends, then it is God's will for us to walk this world with friends. And so praying for that end is, you know, partnering with the Lord, like just God, show me today open my eyes to who would be a good friend, who has great friend potential that crosses my path today, and give me just the courage to go up to them and make an introduction. They might, you know, they may not reject that, like my friend Jen experienced, but I think more often than not anyway, they will accept that and be interested in at least having a short conversation with you. Then you can see where it goes from there. Mm.
And I love like just taking one small step, you know?
Yes.
Like for me, sometimes it's just could we go out to coffee?
You know,
like just kind of if there's somebody, like just recently I was at an event and there was a lady that I just felt a connection with. We were actually serving together at the event. And I just said to her, she actually reached out to me on Instagram and was like, I love serving with you last night. And I just said, hey, I'd love to grab coffee sometime, you know, just, mm-hmm. and so like just putting it out there.
Yeah.
There was another woman recently where I know she had recently moved and there was a connection. We had met at an event and I just said, if your friend quota isn't full, I'd love to have coffee with you. And kind of not with any expectation that it's going to go anywhere. Because
right.
I have found that so many times, you know, it takes literally, I've probably had coffee with, I don't even know, you know, 100 people mm-hmm. over the last few years. And not all 100 of them have right. become good
right.
friends. But
right.
it's like, if you don't put yourself out there.
Right.
It's never going to go anywhere.
Exactly. Yeah, that's exactly the thing. The fact that you're willing to just keep trying for the one that does go somewhere. You know, I remember when I met my friend Maria, whom I talk about in the book, we got together for coffee early on. And at that point, I wasn't really like, I felt like I'd finally found some good friends in Colorado Springs. I wasn't really looking for another great friend, but she was new. Well, she'd actually grown up in Colorado Springs, but it had been a lot of years since she'd lived there. So she was circling back. And so she asked me to coffee, or maybe I asked her to coffee again. I can't remember. But anyway, we met for coffee and we just clicked like crazy. And, you know, I mentioned the research in the book too, that the research says to make a casual friend, you have to spend 50 hours of time together. A really good friend, like what's one of your deeply meaningful friendships? It's like 200 to 300 hours together. Like that's a lot of time. But I felt like with Maria, we got to the good friend, you know, in the more of the 50 hour ballpark, you know, we just connected. And I think, you know, if I had just been like, I got my people. I'm okay. I would have missed out on one of my most treasured friendships today. Mm-hmm. So I think, yeah, the willingness to just try, but you're right. We all have limited bandwidth. We can't all be friends with everybody that we have ever had coffee with. But I think too, if you think, oh gosh, you know what? I don't think I have time this week. I don't even know if I have time this month for coffee. Fine. Can you get a date on the calendar 3 months from now? Mm-hmm. Or maybe you have time, you know? Mm-hmm. Because certain seasons are busy, and I've done that before. I can absolutely do coffee with you, but it's going to be 6 weeks from mm-hmm. now. Is that okay? And then, you know, and then just being okay with that and not discouraged on the receiving end. And, you know, yeah, just keep after it.
One of the things that I'll do oftentimes is look at my calendar and see, okay, where could I connect with a friend? Mm-hmm. Like with me having younger children, again, now it's a lot of times I'll, you know, my friends who have younger children saying, could we go to the park for an hour? You know, like just getting creative. Or maybe it's like dropping a child off at a sports event. They're having to practice and you say, hey, could you meet me here and let's go walk? Or there's a Absolutely. Coffee shop that's really close. Like looking at your calendar and seeing like, where are those little spots? And it might be 45 minutes. It might just be an hour, but still grabbing those up and taking advantage of those, because I feel like there is so much gift in just prioritizing relationships and getting creative. Or maybe it's something that you know, could do together.
Right.
Like grocery
right.
shop together. Maybe you like to, you know, other types of things that, you know, you cook together, you know, figuring out stuff that you're already going to do and how could you fold the friend in and
yes.
do it together.
I think that's when you make it a real natural way like that, it's, you're kind of killing two birds with one stone. And, I know I remember when my kids were taking swim lessons, I had a friend whose kids were taking swim lessons. We put them in or wanted to. I suggested my place. She put them in. And then we had 45 minutes to chat then, you know, on the Tuesdays of every day of the week. And so, yeah, I think when you can work in a ritual time like that, even if it's like, listen, you know, I need some odds and ends at Target. How about on the third Thursday of the month, we get together and just walk the aisles of Target together. And maybe we do it during the day with, you know, our strollers or, you know, with our young children, or maybe we do it at, you know, at bedtime. If you've got spouses putting the kids to bed, and then you both just get out for 45 minutes or an hour and talk while you walk the aisles of Target. Yeah, you're getting some grocery shopping done while also feeding your friendship too.
Another thing that has worked really well for me is like having friends that we volunteer together. Mm. And so like things, especially like at church, you know, I am getting ready to start helping co-lead this discipleship program that I used to years ago. And a friend and I are doing it together, you know, and we were just talking, we were going to the leadership meeting beforehand and last week, and we were talking on the drive home. Again, we rode together. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
like just a simple thing of like, hey, absolutely, let's ride together there. We're both going to the same place. It's kind of on her way to pick me up. But we were talking about how that thing of the every single week seeing someone, there's something that it does for your relationship and for us to be serving other women together, but knowing we're going to see each other every single week and how that can really help build our relationship by doing that. And it was interesting because she was telling me how she's just always so concerned about, am I too much for other people? Like, you know, do they have space in their life? And I turned and I looked at her and I said, I just want you to always know I have space in my life for you. You know, and just like saying out loud those things to people to say, like, please text me anytime you think of me. Please don't talk yourself out of, you know, like, is she too busy? Does she have too much going on? I've just found like giving people permission to be the friend that they want to be.
Yes.
Sometimes they just need that extra nudge.
Oh, I love that, Crystal. And I think too, what you're also giving the gift of peace and rest when you do that, you know, like, I mean, I even just exhaled a little bit just hearing you say that. And, you know, I can't imagine what your friend must have felt like, but I agree. Saying the things that we often think, but maybe we just don't think to actually say out loud, I think that can just be such a gift to the person. And just, you know, I always think I want to be the kind of friend that leaves the person feeling better when they left me than they did when they got there. You know, I don't want to make them feel weighed down or heavier or burdened or laden with expectations, which, you know, in my story was kind of early friend Kristen, at least with a couple of gals for sure. Make them feel lighter and just more encouraged. And when you do that, then when you're in the habit of that, or that's just kind of the way about you, then you're just going to draw people towards you more as well.
Whether your child is trying to catch up, stay sharp, or get a head start for the fall, IXL can make learning a seamless part of summer. IXL is an award-winning online learning platform that helps kids truly understand what they're learning. Whether they're brushing up on math or diving into social studies, it covers math, language arts, science, and social studies from pre-K through 12th grade with content that's engaging, personalized, and yes, actually fun. It's the perfect tool to keep learning going without making it feel like school. Silas used IXL in his math class a few years ago, and he really loved how he could work at his own pace, and he loved that he was able to see instant feedback on how he was doing. This program will improve your kids' grades. Studies show that kids who use IXL score higher on tests. It will work for any of your kids because IXL uses smart technology to tailor support to each child's level, personality, and learning pace, which I love. It also saves time because one subscription gets you everything. There's one site for all the kids in your home, whether they're pre-K up to 12th grade. And also, my favorite part, you save money because if your child is struggling, this is such a great investment. A single hour of tutoring costs more than a month of IXL. Don't miss out. 1 in 4 students in the U.S. are learning with IXL. IXL is used in 96 of the top 100 school districts in the U.S. Make an impact on your child's learning. Get IXL now. And Crystal Payne Show listeners can get an exclusive 20% off your IXL membership when you sign up today at IXL.com/today. Visit IXL.com/today to get the most effective learning program out there at the best price. Do you ever feel like it's hard to eat healthfully without feeling like you're giving up flavor or fun? Well, Washington Red Raspberries are a clean, simple, and seriously delicious way to add more nutrition to your day. They're American grown, picked at peak ripeness, and frozen within hours to lock in nutrients like fiber, antioxidants, and vitamin C. And they have no added sugar. They're just fruit as nature intended. They're only 80 calories per cup. And I love that it's 6 grams of fiber per serving. That's 21% of your daily value. And fiber is something that I've really been trying to eat more of. Here's the best part. So when you buy American grown frozen raspberries, you're getting fresh off the field flavor all year long. I love to have frozen raspberries in smoothies. You can put them in muffins or also toss them in a bowl of yogurt with some granola for a really healthy, yummy, and nutrient-packed snack or breakfast. Want to discover new ways to use American frozen red raspberries and get more details on where you can grab a bag of these delicious berries? Just go to redraz.org. That's redraz.org. You'll find recipes, health tips, retail locations, and everything you need to make frozen Washington red raspberries a regular part of your routine. One of the things that my mom had us do as part of our homeschool growing up was to write thank you notes. And this was a whole production. It wasn't just a store-bought thank you card. No, we would create the card using lots of different art mediums. Like sometimes it would be painting, sometimes it would be rubber stamps or embossing or cutting out different things. We had so much fun creating them and then learning to write and communicate our gratitude. And to this day, I look back on that and I'm so thankful for that skill. And also just that you can create something meaningful with your hands that can bless someone else and also teach you great skills. And that's really what KiwiCo stands for. If you're not familiar with them, they are a company that send crates to kids that have cool science and art concepts that are expressed through fun hands-on projects. It's delivered to your door every single month. And these projects are things that can be played with over and over again. And kids just love them. And they are learning. KiwiCo really encourages kids to be creative, bold, curious, and persistent through hands-on play and projects. Over the years, my kids have loved these crates. My older kids, when they were younger, looked forward to getting them in the mail. One Christmas, my grandparents actually gifted them, which is, I think, a great idea. Think ahead to Christmas. This is something you could ask the grandparents or someone else who loves your kids to get for them. And it's this fun thing to look forward to every month, but they're also learning and expressing themselves creatively and building. And I think there's something really fulfilling about reading instructions and putting something together that they can actually use. So I highly recommend this. And then our younger kids have enjoyed them as well. Tinker, create, and innovate with KiwiCo. Get up to 50% off your first crate at KiwiCo.com using promo code Crystal. That's up to 50% off your first crate at KiwiCo.com, promo code Crystal.
So you alluded to early Kristen, and I related to you so much in the book where you talked about that, like almost like being this, it's hard to describe it. I feel like I've done that where it's kind of like you're sucking the life out of people. Yes. And like your expectations of them and what you're wanting from them. And for me, I found it was when I wasn't understanding how much I was loved by God and I was chasing after that approval from other people, I was literally stifling people through relationship. Can you talk a little bit about what that looked like for you?
Well, you know, I guess it would probably be helpful to know that I grew up in Oklahoma, out in the country on O'Neill Lane. My last name was O'Neill. Everybody's last name on O'Neill Lane was O'Neill. So I grew up in a small, you know, we were out, like I said, out the country, but like where I went to school was a small town. So I just grew up with a deep well of family, familiarity, and friends, you know, other than a rough patch in seventh, eighth grade. I don't remember really struggling to find friends. I went to college only an hour away at Oklahoma State, had friends there. But I then met David, though, who was on track to join, to commission into the United States Air Force. So we met, we fall in love, we get married, and that takes me to Ohio. And that was the first time I ever lived anywhere outside of the one place I grew up. So I went from knowing what felt like everybody to knowing nobody and having no clue how to make friends. That was the first time I realized, you know, making friends is an art and a skill that we're not born with. Nobody is. Now, some of us may have more of a natural acumen for kind of maneuvering those waters, but most of us are on a learning curve with it, if not all of us, really. And so I realized, so I didn't know how to make friends. So when I would make a friend, I would overwhelm the ever-loving daylights out of that friend. I'd be like, oh, made a friend, check. Let's hang out together all the time. And my husband was traveling a lot then. So that was another component. You know, we moved to this new place and then my husband's gone. And I was like, okay, this is going to take some getting used to. But anyway, I would just, like I said, overwhelm that friend. And so I had to really learn, yes, that I had a real soul hole there where I felt like people were supposed to fill that up. And, you know, it took me a few years to realize, oh, God is the only one who can fill that up. And when I am going to him first to have that filled up, then I am not, you know, running around to people with my cup going, you know, fill me, fill me, fill me. And that's just kind of the way I worked in my early mid to mid 20s for sure.
And then I think when we understand how much we're loved by God, we get to love others from the overflow.
Yes.
And we can really focus on them versus that, like, what can they give me?
Right.
It's more like, how can I just love them and show up for them and pour into them?
Yes, absolutely. And that's what I discovered. Like, you know, when you are a healthier person yourself, you attract friends because you're not putting out that neediness vibe, you know? And so, yeah, I think when I became more, and you know, I was raised in a Christian home and everything, but I think once I really honed in on the relational aspect of, you know, my life as a Christian, my relationship with God, my relationship with Jesus, and yeah, letting him fill me up, then I did bring more of a whole person to the table. So I think I was more of an attractive friend. And like you said, I could then love people from that overflow, because I felt secure in who I was as a child of God. And I wasn't looking to people to give me that security. I felt secure. So therefore, or at least more secure. Not that I never have bouts of insecurity. I won't say that's, you know, true. But it's not to the point that it really is. It's in the way of me making friends, certainly, that it used to be.
And I think when we catch ourselves psychoanalyzing and second guessing a lot, that's really a red flag that something is dysfunctional in our heart. So it's like if you leave a situation and you are really psychoanalyzing, did I say the right thing? Did I do the right thing? How did they, you know, did they approve of me? Did they like what I said? How did they receive that?
Yeah.
To really stop and be like, wait, am I trying to get from someone else what only I can get from God? And like, what is dysfunctional in my heart? Because you're never going to have healthy friendships if that is the place that you're showing up from.
Exactly. True. And also, the fact of the matter is, they're not thinking those things about you. All those questions you're wanting to ask yourself, they're not thinking it, because if they're thinking anything, it's those questions about themselves. So nobody is dissecting what you say, you know, to the level that you are trying to do so. And yeah, learning that lesson does a lot as well to just help bring a healthier mindset to your life, just being, let alone to your friendships.
And I love Brene Brown said, in the absence of data, we make up stories. And I feel like so often the friendship breakups or friendship tension, all of that comes from when we project on another person. Like, we have that insecurity in our heart. And so that we can project that on someone else. And like, oh, I just think, I don't think they like me. And so then almost like we pull back out of the story that we've created, and it can cause tension. But I also think there is the situation where, you know, people do mistreat us, or, you know, we are really hurt in relationships. And I'd love for you to speak to the woman who is, you know, hearing all this and being like, that's great, but you don't understand. Like, I have walked through a really horrific friendship breakup, and it's caused me to be to a place where I don't think I can ever trust anyone again. I'm too scared to step into friendship. What do you say to that,
Lauren? Yeah. Well, I'd first say I'm just so sorry. That is a sting that hurts worse. Like, I think sometimes it's more painful than a boyfriend breakup, mm-hmm. a friendship breakup, because they are just so important to your life. And, you know, when they, especially when the friendship changes, the breakup happens, and you have a lot of questions. You're like, I don't even know why this happened. I'm just so, so sorry about that. But I would say a couple of things. First of all, when that friendship breakup happens, I want you to know it is 9.5, if not 9.75 times out of 10, not about you. It is not about what you've done or what you haven't done that you should have done. It is simply about the other person, their bandwidth, you know, whatever has hit them and they, whatever pain they're dealing with, and they just had to shrink their world. And sadly, you fell on the outside of that. I'm not saying that excuses it. I'm just saying that it's an explanation. And so that I think is true as well. And I just encourage that woman to know that, I am, as I said earlier, a woman of faith. And, you know, I like to rely when those questions that have no answers come into our lives, which is just the way it is, you know, the way those things kind of work. I like to rest in questions that do have answers. So, you know, when my friendship changes for the worst, you know, I rely on Hebrews that says Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And so I have him as my solid rock of foundation that I can lean on when that happens. That again, I know that doesn't just magically erase the pain of it, but it does just helps you sort of keep your compass needle, reciting verses like that helps keep your compass needle tuned. So you know that this is not anything about your worth or about what kind of a friend you are. It's just simply the way that friendship ended up not working out. And I would say too that my friend Selena says, sometimes rejection is God's protection against what's not in our best interest. And you know, there is a lot more in life going on than our view is even aware of. You know, there's some kind of a quote, I can't remember it exactly, but you know, the Lord sees things you don't. The Lord hears conversations you didn't. And so sometimes he removes people from your lives that, you know, you may not ever get answers for this side of heaven, but know that God is still moving in your best interest. For whatever reason, the pain you're experiencing today is still less so than perhaps some pain you would have experienced down the road if that friendship had remained in your life. And again, all the sympathy and empathy in the world for like how that feels in the moment, especially when you just can't understand why. But I think just holding on to trust in God over that, over maybe those those feelings is kind of just how you get through it one day at a time. And I will say too, just not to let it scare you to stop trying to make the friends you need. When that happens to you, it can be real easy for us to be like, you know, a jackrabbit and just want to jump in the hole and hide from the world, because women are tricky and I'm not sure they're worth it. Well, you're worth being friends with, and you're worth our time and our effort and our energies. And so I just would encourage her to not let this take away more from her than it's already taken, and for her to keep on keeping on, keep trying to find the friends she needs.
So good. As you were sharing, I was just thinking of the verse in scripture that talks about how Jesus was despised and rejected mm-hmm. of men, and how Peter, the one who walked with him so closely, the one he had poured so much into, like had been one of his closest people, as soon as, you know, they are like basically everybody's turned against him and they're going to crucify him. You know, Peter mm-hmm. is the one who's just like, I never knew him. And just how painful, mm-hmm. you know, to think about like how painful it would be to have the person who is closest to you in your greatest time of need mm-hmm. be like, I never even knew you.
Oh, right? Yeah, absolutely. And then what happens after Jesus, he's crucified on the cross, he rises again, and the disciples are out in a boat. Jesus is on land making like a fish breakfast. And then Peter realizes that it's Jesus. And so they come on in and Jesus calls him friend. After all being denied three times, Jesus still calls him friend. So yeah, Jesus knows more than anyone what it is like to be betrayed. And yet he says in scripture, never will I leave you or forsake you. He is with you through thick and thin. But he understands every feeling you're going through as you walk this line of a friendship breakup and, you know, try to get yourself to the other side of it. He is walking with you because he gets it.
Mm-hmm. I just think of like, what a friend we have in Jesus. Mm-hmm. And so like really leaning on him, but then also, you know, asking for the courage to try again. And for me in my own life, I had a pretty traumatic friendship breakup. Mm-hmm. I'm thinking it was 5 years ago at this point. Mm-hmm. COVID did a number on relationships.
Oh, it sure did. It sure did.
And I look back and I see how God used that to open up the door for other relationships. Mm-hmm. And not only did God use it for me to spend some time to be like, okay, I want to grow and be healthier in relationships. And so I really, you know, spend some time just working on myself to grow as a person and grow in my relationships and also grow in my understanding of how much I was loved by God and my confidence in that and to just love people out of that. But also then he opened up the door and I look back and I'm like, I would not have some of the relationships I have in my life were it not for that, because it made space for me to step into new relationships. And I see how that's been such a gift. And so at the time, a lot of it didn't make sense. Mm. But looking back even 5 years, I can see how God used it for good. And I'm so grateful. And also for me to just be able to pray for that person and love them. Like that was the thing that I just really prayed, like, God, help me to have so much love for this person and to be able to just shower them with love and kindness. And God has just given me that opportunity. And even actually in this last year that I got to see that person and show love to that person and just show kindness. And I'm like, I don't know what it was for her, but I know from my heart, like I needed to do that. You know, after 5 years of not seeing her, God just opened up this door for me to be able to see her. And I was just like, thank you, God. Thank you, God, that I can walk away from this knowing like I love her and I care for her and I can send her into wherever God has for her and also be grateful for where God has me.
Well, I love that for two reasons. First of all, you lived like that rejection you received from the friendship breakup, which ultimately is what happens. You know, there's a sense of rejection. Like it was a part of life, but it wasn't the end of life. Mm-hmm. And sometimes what I see in women now or in like our teenage girls, like they almost are debilitated I've gone through a painful friendship breakup too, although it was a number of years ago. It was debilitating. So I'm not saying, you know, no shade on that, but almost then to where we can't move past it. Mm-hmm. You know, we kind of get stuck like in the rejection. And so then we allow a root of bitterness to grow instead of like you modeled, you know, wishing her well, praying for her. And then, because in that you're keeping your heart soft towards her and wishing her the best. And even if her best right now seems to not include you, that is something I think that really does just, it's not just character formation, but it just reaps, I think, it reaps benefits in your future friendships too, because you're again, carrying your healthier self to those friendships. Now, I will say too, in my book, I go pretty in depth with my daughter's permission about her high school friend experience, which was a bunch of fertilizer. But the thing that we learned, so my daughter's, in a nutshell, I go through it very in-depthly there, but basically in high school, friendships not so great. College, friendships so much better because of what she learned about making friends, both what to do and what, you know, she didn't like having done to her. She took that with her to college and she didn't just sit in her dorm room. She got out and about and introduced herself to people and she made friends left, right, and center. And there's something, though, about when you have gone through a big fertilizer season with friendships, that feeds your future friendships, especially when you are careful to not allow that root of bitterness or that bitterness to take root. That is the benefit. I think that God doesn't ever make us go through like a painful circumstance without there being some sort of gain to it, you know, down the road. And so that's what, you know, I think you can also just keep in mind with your own friendships, with, you know, the difficult friendships that your kids are going through, or maybe they're really lonely because they're having a hard time making friends. If they can still, just keep an open heart to them about at least, you know, still trying to, you know, connect with people where they can, we will eventually get to a place where we're going to meet those folks that are receptive to that. Even if where you are right now, you know, you just feel like you're striking out.
And I also think it causes you to appreciate friendships more. Like when it wasn't something that came easily, when it was something that you kind of really worked hard, prayed hard for, then you see the gift in it so much more.
Absolutely. I know the late Pope Francis had a quote that he said, we live in a throwaway culture where we just throw away relationships. And I think sometimes we are quick to, oh goodness, you know, maybe what somebody does to us and is a garden variety mistake, and we want to make it a bigger thing instead of, you know, exercising grace and, you know, forgiving, because we've all fallen short, as it says in scripture. We've all sinned. But yeah, so when you are able to do that, then, you know, you just, again, are bringing your healthier self to your friendships as well. Yeah. And just keeping in mind perspective and really appreciating those friendships that, you know, that are those friends that are just really good to you. Mm. So
there's so much more we could talk about. I had so much more dog-eared and underlined in this book that we didn't get to. So I just cannot highly recommend this book enough. If you are struggling in community, if you have been hurt by other people, if you feel lonely, if you know, things are actually going pretty well, but you just want to have some encouragement for that to continue, for you to continue to be a great friend, there's just so much wisdom and practicality and encouragement in Kristen's book. It's Desperate Woman Seeks Friends, real talk about connection, rejection, and trying again for the friendships you need. And we will link to that in the show notes.
Thank you for joining us today. For more great resources, please visit crystalpayne.com.